Padres have a new boss, or at least a boss under AJ Preller. Jay, we can get into a lot of things about Bob Melvin. He was the longest tenure manager with one team. I believe it was a 528 winning percentage over his 11 seasons with the A's. Took over in the middle of 2011. Took him to the postseason six times, which happens to equal the amount of times the Padres have been to the postseason in 53 seasons. Where would you like to start with the Padres once again kicking off the offseason? It hasn't even started the offseason, but they've made a splash.
I think we should probably start with the idea. I guess there's two places, but I would start with the idea that I can't imagine, as much as we all and everybody out there loves to complain about everything, I can't imagine what the complaint would be about the Padres hiring Bob Melvin. I was trying to think of something last night, this morning. I guess the only possible complaint you could come up with maybe is that he's not Latino. And there were people who thought, hey, maybe it'd be great if they had a Latino manager, just because of the way some of the organization is right now. Padres have not had a person of color be a manager, by the way, I believe since their very first manager, Preston Gomez. But look, the idea is to hire the best person for the job. And of all the people that I've seen named as available, Bob Melvin was not one of them. And Bob Melvin has a better track record than anybody else who was named as a manager and, or, you know, as a candidate. The name came out of nowhere. I was out yesterday for most of the day. I came home, maybe had been here for an hour, and I got a message from Tom Krasovic, and he said, do you want me to do something on Bob Melvin? And it was like, what did Bob Melvin do? You know, so it was that, I mean, that's how out of the blue it was, I think, for just about everyone. You know, Tom wrote a great piece today, tying it in with the Bruce Bochy move from 15 years ago. The Bay Area owed us a manager here in San Diego, and they sent us a very good guy. And from all accounts, everything I've read about Bob Melvin is he's a good man. He's a good manager. His players love him. I don't know. Can you think of anything negative about this move?
Other than the one you said, and that was you reaching for something, you know, looking for, trying to examine it from all angles. So that's all. And no, because I personally, and I think you're on the same page here, Jay, don't care that he has made it to one championship series of the seven times he's been to the postseason. That was with the Diamondbacks back in 2007. The playoffs. Look, you and I were talking about it a couple weeks ago. I don't think it was on here, but it was, they need a manager to help them get to the playoffs. Let's stop talking about playoff success. That's very important. But once you get to the postseason, oftentimes the best team doesn't win.
Of course. And that could be, I guess, the other negative that I did think of that, and it slipped my mind at this point, that he has not been to the World Series in seven playoff tries. But as we know, the playoffs are such a crapshoot. And I think you might have said, or someone said to me, they need to go the Marty Schottenheimer route in this case. They need to get somebody who can get them to the playoffs. And that's what, you know, the Chargers did that many years ago. Marty turned the team around. He got them back to the playoffs. Didn't do so well in the playoffs. And it cost him his job, among other things. But that's what the Padres need right now. They need to get to the playoffs. Worry about the playoffs when you get there. Look, the Atlanta Braves had the lowest number of wins of any team that made the postseason this year. And tonight at 5:00, you can watch them in game three of the World Series. It's not about the best team over 162 games. The Padres need to be that best team, or at least a team good enough over 162 games to get to this point. And Bob Melvin has proven that he can do that under circumstances that, let's face it, probably tougher than he has here in terms of, at least in terms of talent. Now, he does have two very good teams, you know, facing him in the division, but depending on what those teams look like right now. But Bob Melvin has proven seven times, six times with the A's, that he knows what it takes to get to the postseason.
He's proven that with a payroll that is always among the lowest in the majors, and certainly their management gets gets a lot of credit there. But everything you hear about him, and here's where I would want to start. It's what I'll write about today. It's what I think is most important. We all know the things that were said, done, you know, with this team and how they cratered at the end of the season, how there wasn't that respect for Jace Tingler's, he didn't have the ability and the what he showed and what the players saw and what the players felt to kind of have that presence in the clubhouse. And everything you hear about Bob Melvin is he does. First off, what is it, 18 total seasons as a manager? Yeah. 11 with the A's. I mean, 11 with one team in this day and age. That's amazing. And, you know, look, they're going to pay him about $4 million a year, okay, which is four times what they were paying either of their previous two managers. Mm-hmm. So this is the guy, right? Okay, one of the complaints, Jace Tingler too close to AJ Preller. They don't trust the front office. Now you've got a guy that you can trust, okay? And there's so many players around the league who have played for him that the players that are here now who, you know, aren't real thrilled with how it's gone can now say, boom, they were looking for something. They were looking for a free agent signing or something for them to. That's how it is, guys. Like, I'm writing about it today. In the moment, everything seems worse than it is, okay? And it was guaranteed that the second the manager excited them or a starting pitcher signing excited them, any player who is, you know, bummed about being on the Padres or the direction of the Padres, they want to be a part of this team. They want to, you know, they're looking for a reason to be excited about the 2022 season. And AJ Preller just gave it to them.
And you know what this also does, and that I was just thinking of as you were talking, this takes away a gigantic scapegoat for the players and, let's face it, for the front office as well, Preller and his group. You know, they got rid of some guys in the front office, developmental, all that stuff. They got rid of the manager that the players, you know, didn't like. And for some reason, that was why they sucked for the last 6 weeks of the season, which I will never understand. But, you know, anyway, they don't have that scapegoat now. Their manager has proven. Now, Bob Melvin has had losing seasons before. And like Bruce Bochy had losing seasons, and like pretty much almost every manager, except for maybe Dave Roberts, has had losing seasons. That's not because Dave Roberts is a better manager than all those other guys. It's because of the players here. And this is, as I've said many times, this is now on the players again. They've pretty, to me, they've run out of excuses here. Barring, you know, major injuries to a bunch of guys or whatever, but this is on them. They got what they wanted. They wanted a veteran manager. Now they have to respond. They have to show that they can respond to that manager, because players who went in and out of Oakland over the last decade pretty much responded to Bob Melvin. At least the ones that were good enough were able to, you know, play well enough and be part of teams that went to October with Bob Melvin in charge.
You and I spent a lot of time talking about how important is a manager. Okay, whatever. I do think there is some importance in certain game situations and players, whether that was pointing finger, whatever, players didn't, you know, think that Jace handled some in-game decisions very well. Moreover, Bob Melvin has the ability to walk into that clubhouse and whatever it is he says, say, play better and stop the slides. Mm-hmm. And I do think that is one of the roles of a manager. And so does AJ Preller. AJ Preller, I guess, obviously mistakenly, at least didn't work out with Jace Tingler, thought that surrounding him with a bunch of strong coaches and letting Jace Tingler learn on the job would work out. Well, that didn't work. And so he went with a guy who certainly doesn't have to learn on the job and will instantly have the attention and the respect of the players. And as you said, whatever excuse there was, is gone now. And so to your original point, and we can stop the podcast now, I don't see how you complain about this. Now, I hope it works out better than the recent splashes that AJ Preller has made in the offseason.
Right. I do want to read one quote that Tom Kraszewski had in his story today, or maybe people saw it last night, where he quoted an active manager in baseball. Obviously, the guy didn't want to be, you know, quoted by name. But he said of Melvin, he's one of the most prepared managers in the game. I've managed against him for years, and it's a continual chess match in-game. He's a calm presence, but will always defend his team. He isn't the most aggressive manager in the game, but he will generally always do the right thing to put his team in a good position to win. That's all you can ask from a manager. put players in a position to win. And that's why I said, I think this is all on the players now and on Preller and company to get some better players in better positions. But I can't, you know, I can't think of, and I'm sure that as time goes on, it'll come out as to how it became known that Melvin was even available. You know, I'm sure there were, I saw somebody write today, I can't remember where, that I'm sure there were other teams, if they had known Bob Melvin was available, would have jumped on him. Even teams that had a manager in place already would have said, this guy's better than what we have, let's go get him. But, you know, however this came to be, you know, kudos to the people who found this out, found out that Melvin was available, pursued it, and made Melvin believe that this was a place that was better than where he had been for the last 11 years and where he had been to the playoffs six times, coming to a place where everything fell apart over the last, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks of the season.
So great. Good. The great point there. You said, you know, Melvin believed. Okay, so let's set the stage of the reality here, right? Everyone thinks they're dismantling the A's even more than they have dismantled them and rebuilt them in the past, right? The A's demise is perpetually, it seems, predicted.
Right.
But supposedly his salary dump was the first of others to come. And, you know, he may or may not have been the guy to put out the feeler. You know, there are contacts that you have, and he may have been the guy to put out the feeler. So maybe he was leaving a situation that he, you know, didn't want to be a part of anymore.
Correct. But, although he could have gone somewhere else. He could have put out the feelers to go somewhere else. But
your other choice is the Mets at this point. So, but, you know, but for all that has been said, and this goes back to something I've written that we've talked about here, AJ Preller, yes, he and his front office believe in a certain way to do things, and there is some meddling. I don't cover other teams, so I don't know the comparison as far as how much more they meddle than others. My understanding is it is less than some and more than others, okay?
Right.
But in terms of letting a manager manage, I know for a fact, because I've seen it, I've talked to, obviously, two managers who've worked for him. I've talked to AJ Preller. I've been witness to some things. AJ Preller wants to let his manager manage, okay? And now he's got a guy who he knows has been through the battles. He knows has, you know, managed games, who has managed clubhouses. Okay, so now we'll see. But I think that that's important, that Bob Melvin believed that AJ Preller was going to be that guy.
Right. And the idea, and look, it's not going to be where Bob Melvin has every say on everything. That's not how, I don't think that's how any team works anymore. But, you know, if what, you know, what you're saying is that they want to leave a lot of things to Melvin, maybe some stuff they handled before that they didn't, but there's going to be discussions. There's going to be, gosh, I hate to say this, there's going to be analytics used. You know, I know some people hate to, you know, hate that idea that that numbers and statistics and odds enter into this, even though they enter into every almost anything you do in your entire life. But analytics has become like this four-letter word in much of sports, not just baseball. But
hey, has there ever been anything done on the general or on the president of baseball operations for the A's? Has there ever been anything done on how he runs things?
Gosh, I don't know. I couldn't even. Who is the general manager of the A's? Is he? It's Brad Pitt, right? Isn't that what? Isn't that who it is? So, but yeah, I mean, that's the point. There's Bob Melvin is used to managing in a situation like this. I hope you saw my Halloween candy gigantic bag fall from behind me there for the six people who are watching here.
I did that. It was awesome.
That was pretty impressive. I thought I had it set up pretty well there. I do think that, you know, so yes, Bob Melvin has used analytics and will use analytics with the Padres. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
Absolutely. And just the idea that he has been through that. And I don't even think that that's that big of a deal. Look, none of us really know. I try to explain over and over that, like, the lineup, which, by the way, Bob Melvin uses a lot of them. You know, it's not made in a vacuum by the manager anymore. The manager is choosing who to get up and get ready. And, you know, he's managing a bullpen. It's a heck of a lot of input from the front office on relievers that are used, okay? Right. Or even how the rotation is going to go. I'm telling you that AJ Preller leaves some of that to the manager and some of that the front office, with the analytics people. They have conversations every single day. And Bob Melvin has navigated that before, as he has navigated managing high-priced players, young players, relievers, and I don't know that if there's enough that can be said about that, especially in the wake of everything that went on with the Padres this year.
Right. You mentioned the bullpen, which brings me, my immediate thought was the new pitching coach. What do we know about him? And we can get back to Bob Melvin, but I do think we should talk about the idea that they hired a new pitching coach before they hired a manager. Now, maybe Bob Melvin was already down the road with this and he approved it. I don't know. I don't know what Bob Melvin's history is with Ruben Niebla, but Niebla, did I pronounce that
Niebla.
Right? Niebla. I don't know what his, what the situation is, if they know each other. But obviously, Melvin felt comfortable enough knowing that Niebla had already been hired to take this job. And I know the Mets is the only open job at this point, but if Bob Melvin had become a free agent, he would have had opportunities.
You might have seen somebody fired.
Exactly, in other places. So what can you tell us about Niebla and Ben Fritz, who are going to be running the pitching staff right now? Where do you think things stand with them, and what should we know about them?
Real quickly on Ben Fritz, people think this guy is going to be a pitching coach in the future, and there seemed over the last couple of weeks to be no doubt that he was going to be back as the bullpen coach. As far as Ruben Niebla, Calexico High graduate, makes his home in El Centro in the offseason, has been with the Cleveland Indians for 21 years. I guess it's the Guardians now. How do we even address that, Jay? You say he's been with Cleveland because they were the Indians when he was with them, but now they're the right. Guardians, and we don't like to use Indians anymore. So anyway,
and the Guardians are being sued anyway, so we don't even know if they're going to be allowed to be the Guardians or whatever. But let's
so he's with Cleveland.
He was with the Cleveland. Let's call him the Cleveland baseball team.
The CBT. CBT. He was with the Cleveland baseball team for 21 seasons. Responsible for development, their pitching development for what, a decade before joining the major league staff a couple years ago. And that's while Cleveland is just running Cy Young winner after Cy Young winner through the system. And then other guys, you got Corey Kluber, Shane Bieber, a guy named Mike Clevenger, who now pitches for the Padres. And gosh, you would think when he comes in, he'll be like, hey, why'd you guys get rid of Cal Quantrill, and what were you teaching him? Because we turned him into a really good starter. You hear again, in perspective, you're always going to hear wonderful things about someone that is hired. But it seems that his players loved him. It seems that he knew how to get things across. And if there's anything that AJ Preller wants out of his manager and his coaches is – He's not a huge strategy guy. AJ Preller does not sit up there or text his manager after the game, why did you use that pitcher? Why is this guy, right? But he is why isn't this guy getting better? That's his big thing. And so he truly believes that this is the way to go. I believe probably now pitching coach is always watching video of guys in the minor leagues, but it certainly seems that the new pitching coach will be involved, top to bottom with the development. And my understanding is they let go of Steve Lyons and that decision had been made. He was the director of pitching development. Mm-hmm. That decision had been made before they started talking to Niebla. Doesn't mean that the new guy who they brought in from Seattle wasn't somebody that Niebla had suggested. That I haven't ascertained yet, but that's another hire that they are that people are lauding. They're redoing a lot of things there, and they are bringing, I think it's interesting, they got pitchers from Seattle, they got pitchers from Cleveland, and now they're bringing in the pitching coaches from those organizations. So clearly there's an eye toward how do we, because it's a problem that's been identified, how do we make the players we have better?
Right. And now, obviously, the same thing has to be done on the other side of the ball, if you will.
Hitting coach again?
Right. Again.
Yeah.
But again, to me, it's not just the hitting coach. I think it's almost more the developmental part of things. Because, I've said many times, I'm a believer when once you get to the big leagues, you're already pretty good.
Yeah.
you got to get people to the big leagues. The Padres have not been able to get those kind of players, you know, the homegrown players up to the big leagues. Fernando Tatis being an exception. I know he wasn't drafted and technically he's not homegrown, but to me, he was here for so long in the minors that he counts as homegrown if you join the organization when you're in the rookie league or whatever, whatever he was. He's also an incredibly special talent.
Right.
So I'm not sure that it really mattered so much who the developmental people were. It's the people who aren't quite as talented as Fernando Tatis, which is like the rest of civilization, that the Padres need to find a way to get some of those people up to the big leagues and produce at a high level.
One thing that you hear about Bob Melvin is he lets players be themselves. Players like that, of course, right? There's been so much tinkering going on with all the new hitting coaches. You wonder, like, who will this new hitting coach be? And what will – there's an organizational philosophy they want to have that seemed like it was going to work out for 60 games in 2020. What will they do with guys who have been tinkering a little bit? Trent Grisham, Will Myers, Eric Hosmer, almost anybody besides Machado and Tatis, the whole team prone to slumps. I guess Jake Cronenworth as well.
And Cronenworth, right.
Yeah, Cronenworth. Well, then, you know, they're expecting CJ Abrams and Robert Hassel up fairly soon. By the way, bringing up all those names makes me think, you know, okay, great. They hired this guy. Now it's probably time to focus on what the real issues were, as you alluded to a little bit. How are they going to get better? But we don't have to get into that now, Jay. But I think
And obviously you hope that everything in the clubhouse, since that was obviously such a big deal last year, that this helps, you know, in that sense. But they still need either more talent or guys to be better. I think they probably need more talent rather than counting on that, you know, Bob Melvin is going to be a savior who's suddenly going to turn back the clock with Tommy Pham, or he's going to make Eric Hosmer better, or Will Myers, you know, more consistent, or whatever you want to say. I mean, they need to have guys, you know, be better players or get better players. That's still the biggest issue. But there's no question the reason that we're doing this today to talk about the, you know, in general about the hire. This was a splash move by the Padres that appears to be a very good move. That I have not seen anybody across the country that I've read either. I haven't seen anybody panning this move. People are crediting the Padres for doing something good. But much more has to be done, as you
just said. just as certain as what you said is at some point in the first month of the season, because maybe there's a honeymoon period. They go 23-2 and there's no reason to complain there the first month. But just as certain is the fact that we and fans will be critiquing moves that Bob Melvin makes, be it lineup, be it bullpen, especially.
Wait till the first time he changes the lineup.
So, by the way, check out how many lineups the A's use. And that's just a part of not only the game today, but what the guy has had to do in Oakland. Based on what people have said, and by the way, always beware of on-the-record comments about people that certainly your current manager. But if you read these quotes from A's players over the years and various stories, as I have done here in the last less than 24 hours, it really seems that 25th man, now 26th, or the star of the team, he's a communicator. And like I said, that's what I'll be talking about today, because communication is a real touch word with players. And I don't know, obviously, A.J. Preller and Peter Seidler recognized that. I don't know how much A.J. Preller is going to change, but if he brought in a guy who he's going to be working with, who will be working with the players, who is lauded as a great communicator. And I think that's my huge takeaway on this. If that was the problem, boys, here you go.
Right, right. And should we mention that he might have a lot of time to communicate if there's a lockout and there's no agreement and spring training doesn't start on time? He could have time to fly all over the world twice and talk to everybody on the team six times or whatever.
Well, this will be really interesting, because A.J. Preller is a little different, right? You remember the story I wrote, the second story I wrote on the players, you know, going to AJ Preller and talking about Jace Tingler. And I mentioned in there that I had reached out to AJ pretty late. To be fair, it was pretty late when I reached out to him about the story. He didn't get back to me. But the fact is, AJ Preller is never sleeps. So at 3:30 in the morning, I got a text from AJ Preller about that story. I talked to someone the next day on the staff who got a call from AJ at 6 a.m. So he was up to text me at 3:30 and he called that person at 6 a.m. That is not unusual. Coaches work on their days off. You hear other coaches on other teams, especially during this season when things were so limited, flying home to see their family or driving, whatever, if they live 2 hours away to see their family. Not Padres coaches. They were working. You were always getting calls. But this was two new managers, right? I'm wondering what the relationship, if Bob Melvin's gonna be like, who's this when he gets that 2 a.m. call? This is like a whole new, it really is, to have a manager with this much gravitas coming in is really like a whole new situation for everyone, including the guy who hired him.
Right. No, and it makes things even more interesting around here. And I do think, you know, one thing I'm happy about is that it's over. And I know you are too, that I think these kind of things are always better when they're just taken care of quickly and they don't drag on, because, you know, a lot of information can be out there. A lot of misinformation can be out there and you never know what's true, what's not true. To me, it's better when it's just done, it's over with. Now we can focus on, you know, who is Bob Melvin? What is he going to accomplish? And who's the coaching staff going to be? And what else are the Padres going to do, to get better before December 2nd when the whole sport shuts down anyway?
It's the absolute worst. Like of all the things, after a long season, a manager hire is the absolute worst. And kudos to the Padres. I felt terrible about myself, with the dribble of information and, as you said, misinformation. But of the 10 names I heard, and certainly only reported three of them, Bob Melvin wasn't one of them, and no one had him until AJ Cassavell reported it yesterday afternoon. So kudos to the Padres. And like I said, I hope they're as good for everyone's sake. Everyone listening to this, watching right now, listening later, everyone who roots for the Padres, I'd like to cover a winning season. I mean, really, that'd be, be kind of cool. Like the playoffs. I see all these guys covering the playoffs. That'd be cool. I hope that they're as good at picking a new veteran manager as they are at keeping it secret. So, and I hope this offseason move for all of you works out better than all the offseason moves that got you all excited last year. So,
no, that sounds good, and it's good to see you again, Kevin, and good to talk some baseball here on a couple days before Halloween. So. We'll wish everyone a good weekend. Please be safe. Don't do anything stupid on Sunday or any other day for that matter, but especially on
get all hopped up on candy. Like you're going to give those kids in the neighborhood that broken candy that just fell.
Exactly. But we'll come back and when there's more news, we'll come back and talk about it, right?
Oh, the next big splash, that big pitcher. Yeah. Thanks, everybody.